The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Bob Dio on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. It is the 3rd of July, Independence Day Eve, here in the United States, before the big event tomorrow at the nation's capital. It's Buckmaster, and we've been with you here since 2011 during the noon hour on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We're going to take a deep dive, say about maybe the first 45 minutes of the hour. We'll be talking about the Tucson and Arizona economy. We're going to begin with the research professor at the University of Arizona, Dr. George Hammond, director of the Economic and Business Research Center at the University of Arizona, Eller College for Business. We'll talk with Dr. Hammond about his economic forecast, probably up until about 12:15 or so. Then we will get on the live line and talk with Hank Amos, CEO and president of Tucson Realty and Trust. We'll find out Hank's outlook as we end the fiscal year, the midway point of the year, how he sees commercial real estate here in the Tucson area. But right now, let's go on the live line, which is, by the way, 790-2040. If you'd like to join us at any time during the hour, we would love to have your call. Let's bring in now Dr. Hammond, who is with us on the live line from San Francisco. Dr. Hammond, I hope it's a little cooler up there than it is here in Tucson. How's the weather today?
Hi, Bill. Beautiful here today. Temperatures in the 60s, so it's much cooler.
Very nice. Well, how about our economy? Are we cooling off a little bit in Tucson?
Tucson's economy is doing well. We added about 4,300 jobs last year for 1.2% growth. That was about the same pace as 2017. But that was slower than state growth at 2.8% and a bit slower than national growth last year at 1.7%.
How's construction doing? That's led this economy for many years.
Yeah, construction is really back. You know, once the recovery began about 2010, construction really lagged. But over the past couple of years, both statewide in Phoenix and in Tucson, construction has really rebounded and is now adding jobs at a really significant pace. We're also seeing strong job growth in manufacturing. A lot of those are high-paying jobs in aerospace in Tucson. Also, strong job growth in education and health services, reflecting healthcare activity, and also professional and business services, which reflects really a range of activities, everything from accountants, lawyers, management consultants, to engineers and computer scientists, to the call center sector of the local economy.
Where were jobs lost, Dr. Hammond, in 2018?
Yeah, that's an interesting facet of the data. We're seeing job losses last year in trade, transportation, and utilities. And most of those job losses were concentrated in retail trades. And I think what's going on there is kind of the battle between brick and mortar retail and online retail. Now, while we're seeing the brick-and-mortar stores closing and losing jobs, we are seeing transportation and warehousing jobs rise. So that reflects, the delivery services of Amazon and others who are delivering the goods purchased online.
How is Tucson doing versus Phoenix? Is Tucson kind of carrying some of the momentum that we had in 2018 over into 2019?
Yeah, absolutely. We're carrying the same kind of growth we saw in 2018 into 2019 so far. So, construction activity is still pretty solid. I don't think housing permit activity is going to be as good over the next couple of years as it was, say, in 2017 when it really spiked due to an increase in multifamily activity. But house prices continue to rise. In fact, in Tucson, they're rising at a pace that's faster than the national average, but a bit slower than what we're seeing in Arizona and Phoenix. So, You know, overall, house prices are rising. They're rising faster than incomes. But Tucson's single-family housing affordability, at least, is still better than we see in most Western metropolitan areas. And it's better than we see nationally on average.
How are we doing compared to our friends to the north, Phoenix?
We are growing at a much slower pace. And that's pretty typical for Tucson. We do see slower growth in terms of jobs, population, and income. So, you know, Tucson is still growing and expanding, but, you know, we do still have some work to do.
So that's 2018. Let's take a look now at Dr. George Hammond's forecast for the Tucson metropolitan area. What do you see?
Well, I think the way to think about it relates to what's happening nationally. The national economy grew last year well above the trend pace. I think we'll see the national economy slow to below trend growth over the next couple of years. And I think Tucson will do about the same. I think we'll see growth in 2019 at a very similar pace to what we saw last year, so about 1.2% job growth. That will then gradually decelerate as the national economy slows down as well. And that kind of forecast pattern means that recession risks are a bit elevated, particularly as we look into 2020 and 2021. So that will be something we'll want to keep an eye on, both for the national economy and for Tucson.
What about job growth? Where will the gains be? What professions will be seeing a pretty good year in 2020?
Yeah, I think we'll see the job growth primarily concentrated in three sectors. Those will be healthcare, leisure and hospitality, so the tourism sector, and then again in the professional and business services sector, which reflects all kinds of activity. Some of those jobs are high-paying, high-tech-oriented jobs, and some of them are a bit lower-paying sort of call center-type jobs.
The income levels, how are we doing as far as wages, Dr. Hammond?
Overall, we've seen wage growth really pick up some steam over the past couple of years. Part of that's been driven by the tightening labor markets around the state and in Tucson. So we've seen the unemployment rate come down really significantly. And we've also seen an increase in the state's minimum wage beginning in 2017. And that's helping to boost wage growth and overall income growth as well.
Is that hurting the restaurant sector? I keep hearing that this is really hurting restaurant owners. What do you think about that, Dr. Hammond?
Yeah, that's the thing to keep in mind about minimum wages, minimum wage increases, is that they do tend to boost wages, as you would expect, but they have other impacts. You know, the research based on smaller minimum wage increases in the past, particularly nationally, I haven't found much evidence of big employment losses, but where we have seen employment losses in those previous research studies have tended to be in the lower wage industries, including the restaurants. So that's likely where we're going to see the impacts of this fairly large increase in the state's minimum wage from about $8 per hour up into the $12 range, $12 per hour starting January 1 of next year. So it can affect employment in restaurants and can also drive up prices.
We're speaking with Dr. George Hammond, economic forecaster at the Eller College of Business at the University of Arizona. Has the population growth just now kind of leveled out a bit here in Arizona? For years, we were kind of carrying the standard. We were the standard bearer as far as education, or population growth. Is that continuing in Arizona?
Yes. Arizona, in terms of growth metrics, continues to rank very highly compared to the nation and compared to other states. So we're adding jobs at a rapid pace, we're adding population at a relatively rapid pace. But even so, even though we're growing faster than most states, we're growing a lot slower than we did during, say, the 30 years from 1977 to 2007. So we're still growing faster than most states and faster than the nation, but we're growing slower than we did in previous decades. And part of what's driving that is the demographic transition, with the baby boomers now transitioning into the 65 and older age group in large numbers each year.
Of course, a lot of this is based on our economy doing very well. If we do fall into a moderate recession in 2020, it will change things, won't it, Dr. Hammond?
Absolutely. At this stage, what's expected if the national economy does fall into a recession in 2020, it's likely to be a fairly moderate downturn. We're just not seeing the same kind of excesses that we did, say, in 2007 at the height of the housing bubble. So if we do fall into a recession, it's likely to be a moderate one, much more like the recessions that we experienced in the early 2000s, early 1990s. And while those are bad, no doubt about that, we're not headed for the same kind of downturn that we experienced during 2007 to 2009.
Before we let you go, and you kind of mentioned this a little bit about the brick and mortar stores, especially the malls struggling in light of online shopping, and I know we'll address this a little bit more with Hank Amos, CEO and president of Tucson Realty, in a few moments. Some of your thoughts, George Hammond, about where all of this is going, just generally, what are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we're going to continue to see a very intense competitive pressure on brick and mortar retailers, particularly, and that will bring up opportunities for other kind of activities in those in those spaces, those retail spaces. We'll see how that plays out in Tucson. I'll be really interested to hear what your next guest has to say.
All right, Dr. Hammond, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Enjoy the cool air up in the city by the bay up in San Francisco. Thank you. Thank you, George.
Well, thanks, Bill. Can't wait to get back to Tucson.
There you go. My favorite bakery in town is in Tucson, and it's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's, located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve gets up so early in the morning with his team of bakers to make sure not only you have a hot breakfast, because they open at 6:30 for breakfast, he also makes sure all the breads are available for you, all those fresh breads for your sandwiches that they're serving right now at Mona's, the lunch menu going very well. And, of course, the breakfast menu the last month or so, since they put in the new grill, they're doing the hot breakfast. Been up there numerous times. Always have a good meal at Mona's Danish Bakery. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. And, of course, you can find a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to all of the partners that make the program here possible. All of their links at buckmastershow.com, along with all of our podcasts there, all of our contributor bios, a lot of material for you. Hank Amos, CEO, Tucson Realty and Trust, is on the live line. He joins us next after we do hear from some of those great partners right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, FlowersRieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. That bump music, America. That's Tin Man. Right, Bob? Did I get that right? There you go. 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. How about a trip to Silver City? You've got a few days off. Want to cool off? It's 7,000 feet. I don't know, 5,500 to 7, somewhere in that range after a mile high. Who cares? It's cooler. So how about the road trip? It's a three-hour drive, not too bad. Over to Silver City, you'll cool off and you'll go hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, hang out in historic Silver City. So much to do. Some great ideas on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Not only ideas for recreation, but some great ideas on places to stay. And there's some very fine hotels there in the Silver City and Grant County area. The website again, southwestnewmexico.org. Kind of taking a deep dive into how we are at the mid-year point. It's halfway already of 2019, talking about the economy. We heard from Dr. Hammond, the U of A economic forecaster. Let's go now on the live line. Hank Amos is with us. Hank is the longtime CEO and president of Tucson Realty and Trust, which goes back so far in this area and actually predates statehood. They go back to territorial days here in Arizona. Hank, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's always a pleasure to have you on. I was just reflecting. I've known you for about 30 years, and your service to this state and this community, it's amazing. You were, I recall, of course you were on the Arizona Board of Regents. I think you were one of the youngest regents ever. Was that, am I fairly close there?
I was told I was the youngest regent, but then we ended up having student regents serve on the board as well, so obviously, they were a little younger than me, but sometimes I was confused as the student regent, especially when I first came on.
Well, your family and you have been so associated with service in this community and trying to make this a better place. We're at the midway point. We're at the end of the fiscal year, starting a new fiscal year. We're at the midway point on the calendar year. We like to bring you on the program at least twice a year, at the beginning of the program and the mid-year program, for your assessment on the economy. Now, what you told us 6 months ago, are we close to what you had predicted, Hank Amos?
I would say yes. We're pretty close to where we're at, and I can kind of give a little recap of where
sure.
things are, both
yeah.
from the residential market and the commercial market. We'll start off with residential. I've been communicating with Rosie Cloberdine, who's the CEO of Long Realty, and we were talking about the market, and she shared some stats with me that I'm going to share with you. So the overall residential market is, from a transaction dollar volume, they're about $1.7 billion, okay? Almost $1.8 billion. And and they're up 4.1% over last year. And that's mainly due to the increase in the average sales price of a home. And the average sales price of a home right now is about $261,000, up about $10,000 from the end of last year. Now, it's interesting that the closed number of units sold is down about 65 units. So they're pretty close to where they were last year, but the difference is in the purchase price of the home has actually gone up about $10,000. So that market is still strong, started improving about 3 or 4 years ago. Last year was a record. This year could be a record. I don't know if it will be a record as far as the number of units sold or homes sold, but it should be on the closed dollar. And I think what ended up happening, the brakes got applied a little bit, mainly because interest rates last year went up, and they were raising those interest rates. And the mortgage rates are more tied to prime, not so much in commercial, but they are. And if we see, I think in 2 weeks, we're told that the Federal Reserve might reduce the prime rate a little bit. And if they continue to do that, that's going to have improvement in the mortgage rates, and you could see people kind of coming back into the market again and taking advantage of that. So we'll see what happens. But usually in Tucson, the residential market starts about middle of February and ends about the first week of June. But if you have interest rate fluctuations one way or the other, you can see a little spur of activity.
Do you have any idea, Hank? I know that they watch those figures, how long a home sits on the market and all of that. Are we moving homes at a pretty good pace here or what?
Yes, the homes are selling much quicker than they used to. And that's because the economy has improved a little bit. And the homes that aren't selling are usually those homes that – so we have a market that's, well, I'd say north of 1.5 million. That market's a lot slower, okay? Below that, especially in that $400,000, $300,000 range, the market's pretty hot. In that upper-end market, we have a lot of functionally obsolete homes, and they have those designs from, you know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago that just don't kind of fit with today's taste.
Right.
And so you're seeing those homes sitting on the market a little bit longer and all. But the thing about Tucson, and I didn't hear Dr. Hammond's presentation, but he's very well respected at the university and across the country. You know, our economy is doing okay, but we're not killing it.
That's right.
And a lot of that has to do with industry and jobs. We're getting some jobs, but we're not creating the jobs or bringing the companies in, and our economy is just not, like Phoenix is, and our economy is just not killing it. We don't have the vitality or the velocity that some of these other cities across the country, they're really experiencing this great economic recovery and doing very well. Tucson's doing okay, but it's not very good or it's not great. I would just say it's just doing okay.
Hank Amos.
And that's reflective.
Hank Amos is with us on the live line. Hank, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to add about one area that is killing it is downtown. Is that still happening or what?
Downtown is. And so what happens when you give economic incentives, the private sector will take advantage of that. I think Fletcher with Rio Nuevo has done a very good job. Their board, you know, has done a very good job. And so that's how we attracted Caterpillar. We had those economic incentives where they located here. And it's become the entertainment area, both from if you want to go to a bar, you want to go to a restaurant. Everybody kind of Ubers down there and they hang out there. And there's all these different venues that you can go to. So it's doing well. We're seeing some multifamily development. We had some student housing development there. Now we're seeing more multifamily development, and downtown will continue to do well. That's the hot spot in Tucson, but we just haven't had really big companies come in like we used to have back in the 70s and early 80s. And that's the dragon. That's the lead weight for us right now. We're not seeing what we're seeing up in Phoenix and other communities.
We had a question from a caller who says some of these rents downtown have been going up, and some of the landlords have actually been kind of reluctant to go higher. They, of course, they want to keep tenants. But then they also have noticed that you've got some unoccupied space down there where, for whatever reason, whoever owns it is kind of holding out. And this caller was wondering, Hank, is there some tax advantage if you've got an empty property that you can kind of write it off? Or what's the thinking on that? Can you enlighten us a little bit?
Well, I wouldn't say there's a tax advantage. I mean, okay. What you want to do, obviously, is have a performing property that's doing very well and all. But your caller's correct about the rent. So starting about 2015, rents have really gone up. And just to give you an example, in the fourth quarter, they were about $785 or so for an average apartment. They're about $795 now. And they have steadily climbed up since about 2015. So and the vacancy has continued to go down. So right now it's below 6%. I think it's like at 5.8, 5.9%, if I can remember correctly. And that's a very low vacancy rate. So multifamily continues to do well, and that's kind of a reflection, too, of the new generation that's kind of coming into the marketplace. They saw what happened with their parents and the depression or the Great Recession that occurred, and they're more inclined to rent right now as opposed to buy. But eventually, I think, you know, people are going to start buying homes again. We're still having, you know, record years in single family, but a lot of people like to rent. And Tucson seems to be more of a transition community, and so you have a lot of people kind of coming in and leaving and coming back in and leaving, and so the multifamily is doing very well. That market is doing very well.
All right, Hank Amos, stick around. We've got another segment with Hank. We're going to take the mid-show break. It's 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hank Amos, CEO and president of Tucson Realty and Trust, is with us on the live line. We've got so much more to discuss with Hank. I've got all sorts of questions. What's his latest thinking on the empty big box stores and how online is really, talk about something killing it. It's been really killing a lot of retail. We'll get Hank's thoughts on that and more. If you'd like to join us, 790-2040. It's Buckmaster on a Wednesday, 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition, Wednesday on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Green Things, one of our great sponsors, now a destination in itself, 13-acre site over just west of the Brandy Fenton Park there on River Road by the Rito River. You can get all of your gardening supplies, summer planting, of course, and thinking ahead to the fall. And what about that great merchandise from Zocalo? All that merchandise, much of it handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village as part of Green Things. Let's go back now on the live line to Hank Amos, CEO and the president of Tucson Realty and Trust. What's going to happen with these empty big boxes that are going out of business because of online retailers, Hank Amos?
Well, what you're going to see happen is, what's great about business is they usually figure out a way to reconfigure themselves or remake themselves, right? And so these big boxes, what's happened, it's called the Amazon effect. And a lot of those big boxes are really being impacted by Amazon. So, Amazon, they sell so much, they do it on volume, they can offer lower prices. You can now get delivery either the same day or the next day. And so people just go online, they pick what they want, a TV set or something like that, boom, and they get it. So you're going to see some businesses, Sears was an example, you're going to see others that will continue to go out of business. Now, what can happen is that maybe they might then reposition that big box, and they can either create smaller stores in there for retail. You're seeing some self-storage go into some of these facilities or buildings and going in there. You can create educational experiences and all. So, what's interesting, too, that you see what Don Bourne's going to be doing there at the Foothills Mall. They're going to keep a couple of their stores there, but they're going to put some multifamily and create a really all-inclusive living experience where you can basically don't even need to leave. You rent and you can live there. You can walk to restaurants and entertainment and retail, and it's going to be all inclusive. So you're going to see repositioning kind of going on, and it's not quite clear what the exact direction is, but the market always is efficient and always figures out how to solve their problems.
Well, you see these Amazon trucks now, Hank, all over town. It started off, they were working with the Postal Service and UPS, I don't know, I think they still do some of that, but they've got their, their own fleet now out there of those blue Amazon trucks. They're all over town.
and so what's happening is all these cities, the major metropolitan areas, even cities as large as Tucson, Amazon comes in there, they put a distribution facility in there, they put their trucks in there, and they can deliver. And so you're going to start seeing that. Now, who knows? Amazon may get so big. The United States government sometimes kind of gets in there a little bit, like they did with AT&T, right? And they'll say, hey, you're too big, and there could be an antitrust. Who knows what can happen later on down the road? But they are gobbling up, and they have an impact on a lot of retailers. But what's ended up happening is there's that discussion about the online versus the brick and mortar. Is that they find out that if there is no brick and mortar, their business goes down about 30%.
Really?
And if there is some brick, yes. And if there is some brick and mortar, their business goes up about 30%. So you might see smaller stores, but they do want to have some type of presence there. And there may be a reconfiguration of how big their stores are going to be, but you're going to still see some presence in one way or the other. So not everybody's going to leave, but people that have these mom and pops and some of those folks that compete directly with Amazon are getting wiped out. And that's unfortunate because it's nice to have that local expertise where you can go to somebody and they can tell you exactly what you need. And so Best Buy might be one for electronics where you can go talk to somebody, a salesperson. They know what they're talking about. They can talk to you about a lot of things. But unfortunately, what happens is sometimes they'll buy right there and they have that impulse to buy right there. Others kind of say, okay, I got all the information I found out, and now I'm going to go online. I'm going to try to make the best buy I can make. And I think you need to honor, you know, these stores that are here that have the expertise that are here helping you. So we'll see what ends up happening.
What's the outlook on commercial real estate, your bottom line, Hank Amos?
Great. So commercial real estate, it's really a healthy market that we have. We have basically equilibrium. It's a healthy market all around, but it kind of goes back to we're not killing it. You know, we're not going gangbusters like I thought we would have when I was on the show about a year ago, or a year and a half ago. I said, hey, look, I think we're going to have some years that are as good as the mid-80s. And though while things did improve, it didn't hit that excitement level or that level activity that we had. And it's because of that lead weight. We just don't have the jobs and that velocity here that can continue it through. But real quickly, the office market probably is the worst market that we have right now. The vacancy levels are about 8.5%, or maybe a little bit less than that. Rents are still kind of where they were in the mid-80s. The market's stable, but there's really no significant gains in vacancy and or the asking rents per se. We talked a little bit about retail and what's happening right there. The vacancy level there is about it actually went up just a little bit. It's about 5.75, something like that. Rents are about $14.75 a foot. They've pretty much stabled a little bit. There was some negative absorption for the year, but again, vacancy below 6%. Industrial vacancy about 6.5%, which is very, very good. As you remember, it wasn't that long ago they were like 11% and 12%.
Oh yeah.
But a little absorption, not great absorption. You know, the real hot thing in industrial right now is these 1,000, 2,000 square foot bays. They're doing great, but the big buildings really are not. And we talked about multifamily, how well multifamily is doing. Again, their vacancy is a little bit under 6%. So all that, retail, industrial, multifamily, that vacancy is right at 6% or a little bit below. And it's really office that's kind of been the drag. And it's not that bad, but it's about 8.5% vacancy level. So market's pretty much at equilibrium, but it's just not going gangbusters. We're doing okay, but we're not doing great. We're not doing as well as we should be. We're not definitely doing as well as our big brother up the street in Phoenix, which all their markets are on fire.
All right.
They're just killing it.
Hank Amos, a caller wants to know, would you please weigh in on South Tucson? What will it take to revitalize the South Tucson economy?
Well, I think, what you need is there's a couple things. A lot of our industrial is down in South Tucson. We have to look about what we're looking at. So we're looking at just the city of South Tucson and their limits. That's a little bit different than, quote, the broad area of South Tucson, which a lot of people maybe might consider south of 22nd Street to the airport, right? So there is a lot of industrial that happens down there in manufacturing, and we need to continue to have more employment. But it's really about the residential, right? And if you can create exciting residential communities or apartments that people want to live there, then you're going to see that area maybe do a little bit better, right? So, you think about Sororita, which is south of South Tucson, they have a great residential community down there and people want to live there. But not everybody wants to live in South Tucson for whatever reason it is, right? And so people want to live where the residential communities are the finest. And I think if you want South Tucson to do a little bit better, you're going to have a better residential component.
All right. I've only got about a minute. You say we're just not killing it. What is it going to take? I mean, we are killing it in the downtown area, granted, but we need to kill it in other places around town, right?
Exactly. Well, you know, we've talked about this before in the past, but we really had a no growth city government and county government that came on board, and that all took effect in the late 80s. You know, starting in 87, we had the depression, well, a recession, but those no growthers came in our community and set policy, and that word got around the country, and we had some companies that were coming in. We were competing against Austin. And folks wanted to come to Tucson. It was Austin, Tucson. But those no growth policies, you know, that put a big red light, and across the country, people took notice of it. And it takes a long time to reverse that. I think we still have that to a degree with the city, though they've done things downtown and created incentives. But we got to continue to provide those incentives so that private developers and investors can kind of come in and create things there. But it's all about attracting jobs to our community, and we need to do a better job of that. We're not doing a great job. We just need to do a better job of doing that.
All right. Hank Amos, have a great summer. Thank you. It's always great to talk with you. We'll talk with you in the fall. Thank you, Hank.
All right. Thank you for having me, and have a great summer. Happy 4th of July, too, to you and your listeners.
Thank you very much. Hank Amos, CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust. We're on the Buckmaster Show, 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Mark Sykes is with us. Mark's waiting in the waiting room right now. He'll be walking into the studio during the break as we listen to the great sponsors, the partners. Thank you, partners. Without you, we'd be dead air. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mark Sykes is CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which has been based here in Tucson for more than 40 years, doing such a great job. This nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. And Mark is the former chair of the NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group. He's still very much connected with what's going on in D.C., so much so that Mark was back on June 11th testifying before the House Subcommittee on Science, right?
On space, yes.
First of all, good to see you, my friend. This is a very busy month, July, of course, commemorating the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11. It's so important, such a big deal, that we're going to bring you back in a couple of weeks, I think, just to do a segment on that. But right now, I'm curious, what was your message to the lawmakers in D.C.?
Well, I had several messages. The first one was to give a plug to the NEOCAM mission, which is a telescope which Bridenstine says we're moving forward on, and it's to find all these asteroids that could potentially hit us, but there are also the asteroids that we could get to easily, asteroids that might be resources for the future, great science targets, and it's led by Amy Meinzer of JPL, who has now joined the Lunar and Planetary Lab at the University of Arizona. And so we're pushing to bring the NEOCAM mission to Arizona, which would be fantastic. And so I was extolling the virtues of that. There's this plan to send people back to the moon by 2024. And needless to say, the question is, how much is it going to cost? We don't know. The administration's asked for $1.6 billion in 2020. For part of it. There's some speculation it has to be an additional $8 billion a year after that. But there was amendment to the 2020 budget request, they asked for permission to be able to move money around within the agency with kind of impunity. So I testified actually against that. I mean, it's not something I'd be posed regardless of the administration, doesn't mm-hmm, matter, mm-hmm. because this would give them permission to say, take the $5 billion out of science mission directorate and move it all into this particular project mm-hmm. and decimate mm-hmm. The future.
Right.
And so I don't think that's going to happen. And I'm not really seeing Congress giving them bucket loads of money to go plant a flag. And
I was just going to ask you, what's the purpose of the to go back to the moon?
Well, the desire is to get there and say we did it again, and it's
kind of like an oldies tour of rock groups.
Well,
that,
you know, and I'm all in favor of going back to the moon, but not as a stunt. We're going to go back, we should go back to stay,
right?
And have a plan for doing that and a reason for doing that, and so we have to be thinking longer term about what is our ultimate destiny in space. And how to take steps in that direction, not what's the next big thing can we do and go spend a lot of money. So
you mentioned the near Earth asteroids, and then I guess any asteroid that could potentially be doing us harm. I'm just curious, and as you know, I've said this before. I guess there are no dumb questions when you're outside of the science field that I certainly am. I was just curious, do we have any idea what percentage of these asteroids that we have kind of a handle on, or is there something out there, Mark, that could creep up and really do us all in?
Well, there's always that.
Okay.
You know, because we know about 90% of the objects that are a kilometer or larger in size that are in these potentially hazardous orbits.
Okay.
That still leaves 10%.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
okay.
That's a lot,
so
right?
It's not zero, you know.
Okay.
But we have a good idea. We know a fraction of the smaller ones going down to 140 meters, few percent, you know, mm-hmm. or something like that. That's why this NEOCAM mission is so important, is because it would be scanning space from within the orbit of Mercury out to beyond the Earth's orbit and looking for these things. Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned that there that while I was testifying, the matter of Chelyabinsk, the big explosion over Russia, that was caused by about a 19-meter object, so it's even smaller than the 140.
Okay. And that's the one a few years ago.
There's about five times as many of these things hitting the Earth's atmosphere that we can detect from subsonic noise and from flashes in the atmosphere detected by satellites. There's five times as many than are predicted by population models of the asteroids from ground-based observatories. Now, the reason for that, I think, is because this could be caused by a population of objects that maybe an asteroid that broke up, and we're seeing kind of the edge of its orbit. But to really see this stuff, you need to be scanning interior to the Earth's orbit, like NEOCAM does. Mm-hmm. Ground-based telescopes, they could be as big a glass as you want, but they only observe at night. And so they can't scan interior to Earth's orbit. So they're not going to detect this population of objects that's hitting the Earth. And it's really important to know what's hitting us, you know, because, you know, what if a Chelyabinsk occurs right over, you know, Pyongyang and, you know, North Korea? Yeah. Are they going to believe the U.S. military saying, oh, yeah, that was just a natural object?
Right, yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah, so,
you know, but if it's well known in advance, mm-hmm. you know, that these things happen and we find more of these explosion events that happen fairly frequently, then it's less of a risk.
Mark Sykes is with us on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. The NEOCAM, is it up and running now? You said it might be coming.
Nope, it's moving forward to being developed, and it would launch in hopefully 4 or 5 years.
Okay, and there's a chance that there would be then this Tucson connection.
Yes, well, like I said, the PI, Amy Meinzer.
Principal investigator, yes.
And she is brilliant. She has, it's been, this is her vision, this mission. She's been working on it for 15 years and developed a team that includes people at the University of Arizona, people at PSI, and other places around the country. And it should be kept as a PI, principal investigator-led mm-hmm. mission. Mm-hmm. And so we're pushing for that, in which case she comes to Arizona. The management of the mission comes with her.
If we do find something, there's not a lot we can do about it, though.
Sure there is. You know, we can pray. No. It depends on how much of a lead time we have.
Okay.
Now, if it's going to hit us in 5 days, there's not a lot we could do. If it's going to hit us in 30 years, then maybe all we have to do is go up to and splash a bucket of white paint on one side of it, because the radiation pressure might be sufficient to move it just enough that by the time it comes by the Earth, it's shifted in position enough that the Earth has already passed.
Are there some things, though, that we don't know that could really do us in? I'm serious about that.
Sure, in terms of
kind of a wild card out there.
Well, and there's comets. You know, there's comets that are coming in from the outer part of the solar system that we may not be able to see them, you know, with much lead time. And so that's a wild card. But you know, when you play in traffic, you got to take the risks. So we live in a solar system where there's a lot of stuff flying around.
We're going to talk more with Mark Sykes in a couple of weeks about the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11. And just a quick comment about, you know, going back to the moon. Is that kind of what might be partially driving this thing to replant the flag, that this kind of this 50th anniversary?
Yes, I think so. I think so. But back at the beginning of the administration, I met with the transition team, and they're asking me about what could we do in 4 years to have a legacy. Now, this is not what I proposed, but they've been thinking about something, I think, for a while now.
All right. I strongly suggest folks become involved with the Planetary Science Institute. You can find out more about them at psi.edu.
words.
Finally got it right. Only took me about 5 years. But anyway, that's psi.edu for more information about the homegrown and Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Marco, it's a pleasure to see you. We'll talk and reminisce about Apollo 11 as we get close to the anniversary here in a couple of weeks.
I look forward to it.
One of those moments, and perhaps some of our listeners would like to call and reminisce about where they were. It's one of those moments, if you were alive and old enough, I'm sure you remember where you were when man first landed on the moon. All right, Mark, have a great day. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
On behalf of Bob Dio, my fine engineer producer, thank you, Bob. On the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody a wonderful 4th of July. Have a great Independence Day. We have a special best of program tomorrow for you. We'll be back live Friday. So have a great 4th.